botched surgeries. A Michigan jury has sided with a 17-year-old patient after her surgeon botched a corrective spinal surgery 8 years ago and left her partially paralyzed. Faith DeGran of Wyandotte, Michigan, underwent the surgery when she was 10 years old at Detroit's Medical Center. Her attorney, whom I know, Jeffrey Freiger, argued that the way her surgeon inserted the rods and screws during the surgery to correct scoliosis actually caused the compression of her spinal cord. The hospital, which was ordered to pay DeGran $135 million. I don't know. To be partially paralyzed, is it even worth it? But what a tragic story. But it happens all the time. In a moment, Dr. Tony Yoon joins us as we talk about dangerous surgeries on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We've got a great program for you for the next couple hours as well. Dr. Tony Yoon is back with us, known as America's Holistic Beauty Doc. He's a nationally recognized board-certified plastic surgeon who is considered one of the country's best-known experts in looking younger with or without surgery. His podcast is called The Holistic Plastic Surgery Show. It's the most downloaded plastic surgery podcast in the country. Dr. Yoon has been featured on numerous programs, television shows, including Dr. Oz, The Doctors, Rachel Ray, and so many more. And he's back on Coast to Coast. And he was also a guest of mine on Beyond Belief that you can watch by going to beyondbelief.com. Tony, I'm still getting calls about you. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
And you too. Thanks for staying up so late for us as well. And I can't believe how fast this year is going, isn't it? My gosh.
Well, we got a lot of great, interesting things to talk about tonight, this morning.
We do. You know, in that story I had right before you came on, this poor girl, she was 10 when she had some surgery. Doctors botched it. $135 million settlement. Sounds like an astronomical amount of money, but if you're paralyzed, who cares, right?
Yeah, and there's so much going on now, especially in my field of plastic surgery, where there are doctors who are doing things that they just are not trained to do. And it's the economy and it's the healthcare market today that's pushing doctors who are trained in other fields to go outside of their training and to perform these operations on patients who really, a lot of them have no idea that these doctors aren't even real plastic surgeons, that they could be OBGYNs or ER doctors. And they perform operations, they botch them, and here we go. Those are things that we see, too.
And some people go to Tijuana for their plastic surgery. Is that a smart thing to do?
Oh, definitely not. And you would think that people would have the common sense to know that if you go overseas, if you go to other countries, third world countries, to save a little bit of money, that you really are putting your life in these people's hands. And the stories that I hear and what I see coming out of these countries is, it's astounding. It shocks you.
Oh, and what's your recourse when you're down there and something happens?
Well, that's the thing. And as you may save a couple thousand dollars by going down there, but if you have a complication, don't expect that your health care insurance from the United States is actually going to pay for that. And what could be more scary than being ill in another country in a hospital where you can't even understand what they're saying and you don't even know what they're going to try to bill you for in the end?
Tony, it's even bad when you're in a different state away from your home and you get sick. I can only imagine how bad it is if you're in a different country. My God.
Yeah, I mean, the things I hear from people who are in operating rooms where there are flies buzzing around in the operating room. Yeah, I mean, the help there where people, I mean, it's unsanitary. And then you get sick, you have a complication, and now you really are at their mercy because you're sick. There's nothing else you can do. I mean, it really does surprise me what people do in today's day and age just to save a little bit of money.
We're going to get into dangerous plastic surgeries, but Tony, if you would, for the benefit of our listeners, if you could kind of give us an outline of the number of different kinds of cosmetic surgeries there are and what they're there for.
Yeah, I mean, right now there's this boom in non-invasive or minimally invasive procedures. And there isn't as much danger in selling those, although we'll definitely cover that. There are some minimally invasive procedures that can create horrible, horrible problems. But when you get into surgery, and really surgery now, even though the minimally invasive are growing so quickly, surgery still is huge because that's where most of the money is made,
sure.
and that's where the procedures are really, really getting botched.
And unless you're involved in an accident or something like that and you need some kind of cosmetic surgery, insurance doesn't pick this up, does it?
No, and you can't expect that if you have a complication, your insurance will pick that up either. And that's where it can really, really get hairy. There are some insurance companies that will be that really do watch for these types of things. And if you have a cosmetic procedure by a doctor who botches that procedure, don't expect that when you're in the hospital that those tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars that hospital is going to charge you, that your insurance will pay for it. Sometimes it doesn't.
You know, I've got to tell you, too, when people get plastic surgery, sometimes they go back again for some more and more and more. In your circle of people, Tony, what story is out there of somebody who got so much plastic surgery, and shouldn't they get to a point where the doctor says no?
Ideally, they should. The problem is 1% of the population has something called biodysmorphic disorder, or BDD. And this is the same thing that we believe that, let's say, Michael Jackson had, and all these people that you see walking the streets where their faces are grotesquely changed and they look plastic and done and unnatural, a lot of them have dysmorphia. So we think that about 1% of the population has it, but over 10% of plastic surgery patients have it. And studies do show upwards of 30% or more of people who undergo nose jobs have BDD. And this is this idea that if you look in the mirror, you see something very different than what other people see. You know, so other people may see a little bump on your nose that doesn't, that really don't hardly notice at all.
Right.
That patient with BDD, they look in the mirror, and that bump is the size of Mount Rushmore. And they focus on it, and they undergo multiple operations to change this that never really was a problem in the first place.
Is it like someone who's anorexic, where they, you know, they're very, very thin, but to them, when they look in the mirror, they're overweight?
Yeah, that's a very good analogy, because it is very, very similar. And it's this psychiatric condition where the insight is very poor. And what we mean by that is that people who have it do not realize that they have it, you know. So you may try to tell them that, hey, look, you look fine, you look normal. They don't understand what's wrong with you that you can't see it. You know, it'd be like somebody telling you, oh, the sun does not rise in the morning. Like, it just, of course it does. It's reality, but for them, their reality is that they have this deformity that we just can't see.
Is it safe to say, and we're going to get into specifics, but that all kinds of surgeries are dangerous?
Yes, and so if a patient asks me, hey, what's the worst thing that can happen if I have surgery, we have to start with death, because you can die from any type of operation, even something that, for example, people die from colonoscopies, you know, and that's not even surgery. It's the anesthesia.
I had a friend, Tony, who went in for a colonoscopy. He's an ophthalmologist in St. Louis. He's an eye doctor, and his buddy, a surgeon, I guess he would be an expert in he would, what would he be? What do you call a surgeon?
A colonoscopy is typically done by gastroenterologist.
A gastro, okay. Yep. So he goes to his friend who's a gastro, and the guy punctures his intestine, and they had to remove it. They had to take it out and bathe it for a week. This poor guy was stitched up, and then he got an infection. He's alive, but, I mean, a lot of people get sick from surgery infections, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we are seeing more and more now, and you've done a great job with covering some of these types of things on your show where, you know, there's so many antibiotics that we're getting and that are being given to, let's say, animals that we're eating. And so there's all this antibiotic resistance that really nobody's paying much attention to. You know, upwards of 40% or more of the antibiotics that are actually given throughout the country are given even to animals, to farm animals, and we're ingesting that as we're eating food, and that's causing all this antibiotic resistance. And there are certain bugs out there that literally there's just two or three antibiotics that we have that will treat it. And once those bugs become resistant to those two or three antibiotics, God knows what we're going to do. It is definitely getting scary.
Some people are addicted to plastic surgery, and they just can't stop, can they?
Oh, my gosh. I see it every single day. And the patients that will come into the office, and you and I may look at them and say, oh my gosh, what are you doing to your face? And it's like these patients with BED, they just don't see it. And I do think that it's something that you see a lot in California. You see it in Beverly Hills.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
And plastic surgery has almost become a situation like a fancy handbag where, you know, it's a society thing where if you look done in certain social circles, it shows that you have a lot of money, that you have money to spend, like an expensive car, an expensive bag.
Let's talk about some of the most dangerous plastic surgeries. We'll take calls next hour with you, Tony. What, in your opinion, what are some of the most dangerous types of plastic surgery?
So there was recently, literally yesterday, there was an advisory sent to all board-certified plastic surgeons warning them about the incredibly high death rate with surgery. It's called Brazilian butt lift, where you inject fat into the buttocks.
A butt lift?
It's called a Brazilian butt lift.
Tony, we can't say that on the radio.
Fastest growing plastic surgery in the United States. And we see this, it is done in young people, typically young women, where they basically want a big butt. And fat is taken from one part of the body and injected into the buttocks. And this is, once again, it's the fastest growing operation. But what we are finding is that the death rate is unacceptable.
What's so dangerous? Well, first of all, whether one agrees with that kind of surgery or not is another question. But what's so dangerous about an injection like that or surgery that they would die from it?
So fat is injected then into the buttocks, and the veins of the buttocks are some of the largest veins in the entire body. And it used to be that we used to think that, oh, if you don't inject the fat directly into a vein, it's not going to go into the bloodstream. And what we're finding is that that is actually not true. We're finding that one out of 3,000 patients who undergo this operation, which is the highest number of any plastic surgery ever, are dying from it. And you don't even have to inject the fat into the vein. You just have to inject it into the muscle of the buttocks. And when there's so much fat injected, because somebody wants that large of a booty, basically, that the fat can actually enter tiny tears through those veins, go into the bloodstream, and cause a person to die almost immediately.
Gee, is it like a blood clot or something?
Yeah, exactly. It's a fat embolism. So you get this large amount of fat that enters the bloodstream. And once again, it doesn't even have to be injected into the bloodstream for this to happen. It can actually go through the little holes in the veins, and it goes into the heart, it goes into your lungs, and people die from it almost immediately.
So the person's probably lying on their stomach, they're getting the injection, they feel fine, and then all of a sudden they're dead.
Well, usually this is done under a general anesthetic. But quite often in today's society, because this is one of the most popular surgeries that we see on Instagram, on Snapchat, on social media.
God. What's it cost, by the way?
The cost can be anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000.
Okay.
And typically it's done on young women who want large booties, basically. It's done on Snapchat, it's done on social media. It's huge on social media.
How long does the fat last in their system?
It basically, when you get that much fat into your bloodstream, it goes to your lungs and it acts as basically a clot, and you cannot breathe afterwards. And people basically, the oxygen content in their blood drops down, and they die literally within minutes.
Now, in this warning to all of you, are they saying stop doing this procedure, or what are they saying?
Basically, they're saying that this is what's happening, this is how it's happening, and if you're going to do this operation, do not inject fat into the muscle of the buttocks. Inject it into the fat of the buttocks. But the problem is that a lot of surgeons who are doing this operation aren't even real plastic surgeons, and they probably don't even know that they're injecting it
right
into the muscle.
They don't know the difference at all, do they?
And exactly. Right. And this warning goes out to only board-certified plastic surgeons. It's not going out to those OBGYNs that are performing this operation, the dermatologists, those people who are doing it who aren't even trained in plastic surgery, which there are thousands of doctors out there that are doing this.
How many doctors, good plastic surgeons, will stop this practice?
That's what I have done. You know, I basically have told my patients, I'm not doing this operation.
And I bet, you know, I'm not going to get into your finances, but I bet it was pretty profitable, wasn't it?
Oh, this is a huge money-making surgery for me and for many, many other doctors. And luckily, I've never had a patient that this has happened to, but one out of 3,000 patients, that is an incredible number. Now, typically, when you look at plastic surgery, one out of 50,000 is technically, studies show, the mortality rate. We're at one out of 3,000. That's only the ones that are actually reported. So I would expect that that number is probably much, much higher than one out of 3,000.
My gosh, it's unbelievable. Now, I know a lot of people who will go to plastic surgeons or dermatologists to get fillers, Botox injections. They get their lips increased. Is that serious?
Yeah, so, you know, you may think, oh, I see people on social media, you know, young gals like the Jenner, Kylie Jenner and Kim Kardashian, them, and they get their lips injected, so why can't I do it? So ever since the Kardashians and a lot of these reality show celebrities have had their lips injected and they put it all over social media, all these young women have been going to have this done. Well, what people don't know is that this is an extremely dangerous procedure. Because if this filler is injected into a blood vessel, it can cause, like we talked about with fat, it can cause an embolism. Now, those embolisms usually in the face with filler isn't going to kill somebody, but what it can do is it can cause horrible scarring. It can cause parts of the face to literally necrose or to turn black and to die. People have lost their entire nose from injections of filler. And worst case scenario, people have gone blind literally within seconds of having a filler injected into their face. And these are things that are not, oh, you know, once in a lifetime that you see an injection of filler into a blood vessel. This is something that happens every day throughout the country.
These are nightmares, Tony.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you're taking this this substance and you're injecting it all throughout the face. You get it into a blood vessel. Blood vessels supply blood to parts of the face, and if you clot that blood vessel with it, then that part of the face that gets blood supply from it will literally die. You know, I have actually had two of my patients where you've seen filler get injected accidentally into a blood vessel, and luckily we've used the right filler that we have reversed it, and the patients haven't had any problems from it. But what you see across the country, I had a patient from Chicago call me because she had a little filler injected just into the smile lines of her face, and she went blind. And they asked me if I could help her out with her lawsuit.
Jeez. What about just general plastic surgery, facelifts, for example, where they're not injecting any fillers, they're just cutting and pulling?
So those all have the potential risk of complications as well. The kind of crazy complications like blindness wouldn't happen necessarily with a facelift, but you can get that with blepharoplasty. So if you have skin removed from your eyelids or fat removed from your eyelids, you can get this situation where you get bleeding that occurs behind the eyeball, okay? And that bleeding, if it gets uncontrolled, can cause increased pressure to the optic nerve, and people have gone blind from that as well. Now, unlike a filler, that's not something that's going to happen immediately. You know, that may happen over a couple of hours, and surgically you can jump in and try to avoid that. But, yeah, I mean, there are bad things that can happen with any type of plastic surgery.
Well, with Dr. Tony Yoon, his website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It is DRYOUN.com. Simple as that. Thread lifts were pretty popular a few years ago. Then they stopped. What's happening with them now? These are threads that were injected into the face, and then you pull them back and tighten them up, and they're like facelifts.
Yeah. So what happens in plastic surgery is that every 10 to 15 years, we have a new crop of plastic surgeons that comes around, and they say, hey, I've got this great idea of doing this and that to make somebody look better. And little do they know that what they think they've come up with, we've done it 15 to 20 years ago, and it didn't work.
It didn't work.
And every 15 to 20 years, the same procedures rear their ugly heads. Young doctors do it for a year or two. They figure out that either it doesn't work or it has horrible complications, and then it dies off. And then another 15 to 20 years later, it comes back again.
What do you do when you have all these threads in your face? Hold on, Tony. We're going to take a break, but we'll be back with more botched surgeries and dangerous plastic surgeries. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Dr. Tony Yoon with us, of course. We'll get into some other areas he's been working on as well. Tony, we're talking about these thread lifts that they're making a comeback now. They were a disaster in the first place. How are they coming back?
Well, like I said earlier, this is the trend that we see in plastic surgery, where every 15 years or so, new doctors come around and they start doing procedures that they didn't realize never worked in the first place.
I mean, don't the old doctors tell them, you can't do this, it was a mess before?
Yeah, they do, but you know what? It's all about marketing. You know, we talked about how there's so many doctors who are getting into plastic surgery who aren't even trained in it. And so they, a lot of times, will jump on a bandwagon like this as a way to market themselves and get people to come into their doors. And so the problem with these threadless is that these threads can last for a very long time, yet the results may last at the most a year or so. And people end up with these little threads sticking out of their skin with infections, with irregular contours. It can be an absolute nightmare for some patients.
Tony, because it's important, I'll bring this up, but there seems to be some cancers being discovered with breast implants. What's happening there?
This is huge news, okay? There is a certain type of breast implant. It's basically the textured shell of an implant that can result in an actual breast cancer. It's a cancer of the scar tissue. It's called anaplastic large cell lymphoma, and it develops in the scar tissue around certain types of breast implants. Now, it's a very slow-growing cancer, but people have actually died from it.
Jeez.
And the numbers that we're finding, really, it's interesting because it depends on the country that you're in. In Australia, these numbers are massive, the number of patients who have this type of cancer developing. You see almost none in Asia, and here in the United States, we do see a moderate number. And this is something we're just learning about over the last couple years, and is very, very scary for some patients.
That is scary. My gosh. And they can actually die from this?
Patients have died from it. And so this cancer, it's a type of lymphoma that's very slow growing. It occurs in the scar tissue around a textured implant. So there are two types of implant surfaces. There's smooth surfaces that don't appear to be related to this cancer, and this textured surface. And the textured surface feels kind of like sandpaper. And what happens, we believe, is that bacteria can get stuck in these tiny little crevices on this sandpapery surface. This bacteria can stimulate the immune response from the body. And as it does that year after year after year, that can create this cancer. And if that scar tissue is not removed, then that cancer can actually invade into the body and people have died from it.
What about some of these? Let's talk about weight loss and plastic surgery for a second, Tony. What about these devices that you see on late night television and things like that that, you know, you wrap around your waist or whatever and you lose fat? Do those things work?
They do not. Now, there are some interesting ways to reduce fat that do work, but all of these late night things that you're seeing where they rub your tummy to reduce fat, they just don't work. There is something that is becoming very popular that I'm very concerned about, but it's an actual absorbable implant. It's like a pill that you absorb, that you swallow, and it fills up with air in your stomach to try to take up space to prevent you from eating as much. And so there are these, they're called gastric balloons, where you swallow them and then the doctor then fills this balloon up in your stomach to try to take up space.
Yeah.
The problem is that there have been stories where people have actually their stomachs have eroded from these balloons and people have had some major complications from it.
That's scary. What about this freezing to reduce weight? What is that?
Well, that actually does work. And one of the most popular, this is actually the
and
most...
Is that safe?
I'm sorry?
Is it safe?
It actually is. Now, it's very interesting. It's the most fastest growing non-invasive cosmetic procedure. It's called CoolSculpting, where you actually freeze fat from the surface, and it causes that fat to die. The body absorbs that fat. And you actually then lose some of the thickness of your fat. The only problem with this procedure is that in 1% of cases, the opposite will happen. So you go in and you want to get rid of, let's say, some love handles. And what happens with this freezing the fat is the fat actually can get thicker and can grow worse than what you had before you had the procedure.
What goes wrong? What causes that?
It's this weird phenomenon that we don't know exactly why it happens. But in 1% of that population that has it done, for some reason, you stimulate the fat to grow by freezing it. 99% of the time, you lose about 25% of the thickness of your fat on average. But 1% of the time, your fat gets thicker.
Interesting. Why can't people just diet and exercise?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I mean, there are so many things that are out there. There are great ways with intermittent fasting and these fascinating ways to lose weight that are healthy. Yet we all want a quick fix, don't we? You know, I mean, to do things, to not eat as much, to change what you eat, it's hard for people. And so these quick fixes of, oh, you can swallow this pill and it expands in your stomach and you'll get full faster. People like a quick fix, unfortunately.
I'm old school, Tony. I'll work for it. Get, you know, give it the time that you need. And just as long as you see daily progress, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, and there's so many things that you can do that are holistic, that make sense, that can help you to look better, that can help you to lose weight. But unfortunately, those aren't necessarily things that that doctors make the most money off of. And so physicians try to do these procedures that make, I mean, you know, with this gastric balloon idea, you know, I got calls from companies asking me to support them and to promote them. I've never even done the procedure. I've never seen the studies yet. It's all about money.
It is. Now, what about the gastric procedure where they make your stomach smaller? And they tighten you up like that.
Yeah, and so what's happened is initially it was a procedure where you moved almost all of the stomach, and that was a procedure that was a massive operation that you'd have this huge scar down the middle of your tummy, major complication rate, and people would lose a lot of weight from it, but people would die from it. It went from that to these gastric bands where they would put a band around the stomach to try to prevent people from eating as much. And initially people would lose weight from that, but then the bands themselves sometimes would slip and people would find that there was a high risk of people regaining their weight. Now we're doing these balloons. It's all of these procedures that in the end it comes down to is you can eat through pretty much any of these procedures because they're all typically made to reduce the size of the stomach, but you can increase the size of the stomach by eating through it. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of patients do.
Do some people also go in and have fat surgically removed?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get people come to my office all the time. You know, the one thing that we can liposuction fat that's subcutaneous.
By the way, what does fat look like, Tony? Does it look like Jell-O?
It depends on the type of fat. So most of the fat does look a lot like what you see if you go to the butcher, you know, store. And we can suck that fat out that's on the surface. But there's also fat on the inside. If I have a patient who has basically a pot belly, that's different type of fat. That's fat on the inside of the body. That's the fat that is unhealthy.
That's
that increases your risk of heart attacks.
That's visceral.
Cannot be removed surgically.
Is that visceral fat?
Exactly. Yep. And so that's fat that is around the inner organs of the tummy, around your intestines, and you cannot surgically remove that, unlike, let's say, liposuction fat that's on the surface.
You've got to work out and lose weight and stuff like that, stop eating as much. That's the way you lose that.
And it's genetics. You know, what happens is people get that from their parents. So if you've got a mom or a dad who's got basically a pot belly, then it's a good chance that you have one or you're going to get one just because really fat is genetically determined where you're going to get it. You know, whether you have a double chin, whether you have a big bottom, whether you've got saddlebags, all of that is typically genetically determined. And when it's inside the visceral fat, inside the tummy, you know, plastic surgeons like myself, we can't help you with that. You've got to just do that by diet and exercise.
What is the number one requested surgery or request when they go to a plastic surgeon?
The number one request is Botox, non-surgical, and surgical is breast implants.
Interesting.
And Botox is a very popular procedure. 5 million people have it done across the country every year. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of dangerous procedures on your show so
right.
far, you know, this morning. And Botox actually, believe it or not, is not necessarily one of them. You know, there are some people who do have concerns. There are studies that show that Botox injected into the face, you may get the tiniest amounts actually show up in your spinal cord fluid, but there's never been any studies showing that that can actually cause a danger. Although it does concern me when I think, wow, spinal cord fluid, technically, as long as you're not getting black market Botox, they're not injecting incredible amounts, even though it is one of the most powerful toxins in the universe that we know of, when we inject it in the ways we do, it appears to be actually very safe.
What about Botox use to fight migraines?
That's something that's FDA approved now, and there are health insurance companies that will actually pay for that. So if you've got any listeners and you've got history of migraines, you get these frequent headaches, there are neurologists who are injecting Botox in all the various tiny muscles around your scalp, and it can really help with migraines.
That's amazing. Now, there's some fat-reducing treatments. Have you heard about Silk and Lipo?
So this is a very interesting new treatment that is the first at-home FDA-cleared fat reduction treatment. So there are lasers that we use called low-light lasers, and I was one of the first doctors to show it on national TV. Gosh, it was probably almost 10 years ago, and it was a product called the Zerona, and it literally looked like Dr. Octopus. It had a number of different lasers that would target the body, and it's called a cold laser, where like a laser pointer laser, you can't feel it. You know, it doesn't burn you or anything. And somehow what happens with these lasers is they cause the fat cells to open up and to basically regurgitate their contents. And if you exercise, if you drink a lot of water, this fat can then be cleared from the body. Now, Silk and Lipo is the first one that's a low-light laser therapy you can use at home to reduce your fat. Now, the only problem with low-light laser therapy for fat reduction, in my opinion, is that you can't control where the fat comes off of. So if you may say, hey, I've got these huge, huge love handles that I want to get rid of, well, you may use that, and it may come off your arms, but not your love handles.
Now, how
can't control it.
How expensive are these devices?
The Silk and Lipo is several hundreds of dollars, you know, and it's still a lot less expensive than the thousands that you may spend in a doctor's office. But if you want to try something at home that's safe, that doesn't hurt, that may work, then it's something that could be worth looking into. And they literally had this type of like an Indiegogo type of campaign to help support their FDA clearance. And there are, I mean, a countless number of people who are interested in this. I mean, who doesn't want to get rid of fat without having to diet, exercise, or undergo a painful procedure?
As a matter of fact, they raised $848,000.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot that they have done just off of this that they didn't even advertise. You'd have to actually find it in order to put that money into it.
It's crazy. And developed in Israel?
It is, yep. And there are actually, it's interesting, Israel, tiny country, there are a number of laser manufacturers that are centered in Israel. And for some reason, this is one of the places that developed some of the newest, most effective lasers in the world.
How does it work? What is it doing?
So we don't really know exactly. You know, low-light lasers are a fascinating thing where we're using it for so many different uses. It's a very common treatment for hair loss. You know, you may have heard of the laser comb. There's something called the laser cap, where it's a baseball cap with lasers. And we're not exactly sure why it does this, but it penetrates through the surface of the skin. When you look at hair, it causes hair to go into a growth phase, so the hair gets thicker. With fat, we believe that it goes through the skin and it causes those fat cells to once again open up and that fatty content to be regurgitated. And if you do that for regularly for several weeks, that fat can eventually be cleared by the body.
What other new little techniques are out there these days?
One of the things that's very popular is platelet-rich plasma. And it's drawing blood from your bloodstream, purifying it to remove the growth factors and injecting those growth factors into different parts of the body. And it's done on the surface of the skin to inject the skin to actually cause the skin to look younger. We inject PRP, that platelet-rich plasma, into the scalp to cause the hair to thicken. And people are even injecting it into the private areas and causing their intimate experiences to actually be enhanced as well. I mean, it is a huge part in plastic surgery nowadays, and we're really just touching the surface. It's that step before stem cells, basically, we're using growth factors. They're not as powerful as stem cells, but they're much more easily obtained and utilized. And really, we're just touching the surface of what they can do.
You call your podcast the Holistic Plastic Surgery Show. Tell us about that name. I think that's important.
Yeah, so there's so much that we can do that doesn't involve going under the knife. And what I do on my podcast is interview a wide range of plastic surgeons, dermatologists, and holistic experts to talk about all these different products and techniques and treatments. A lot of stuff that we cover are things that normal doctors don't even know about. We talk about the microbiome. We talk about new ways to look younger, about the foods that we eat, about GMOs and things like that that you've covered as well, because I think it's so important for us to spread the word about holistic health and holistic anti-aging.
Just remarkable. Tony, how about a website again? Spell it out for everybody.
Yeah, my website is dryun.com, dryun.com. We've got free ebooks, What to Eat to Look Younger, 10 Things Every Plastic Surgery Patient Must Know, that we give out. All you do is put your email address on the website, and we'll send that out to you right away.
Dr. Tony Yoon with us. And, of course, what is the acupuncture facelift? What the heck is that?
This works, and it's acupuncture on the face to help the face look younger. There are a lot of reasons why it works. It helps to stimulate the collagen in the skin. We do something called microneedling, where we're doing that using automated devices. But they've been doing this with acupuncture for hundreds of years. You relax the muscles of the face, which is similar to what we do with Botox. And this is completely natural. There are a lot of acupuncture therapists that are doing it. It's not the same as a facelift, but it is a very natural way to relax your face and to even turn back the clock.
What is face yoga?
Face yoga is a bizarre type of thing where people make these odd faces.
Open their cheeks and their mouths and stuff like that?
Exactly. They puff their cheeks out. I don't believe that those types of exercises work to de-age your face, but what does work is the relaxation parts of it. Okay, when our facial muscles are overly expressive, when we're creating all of these weird types of expressions, it can cause wrinkles. But when you do something like a face yoga and you take those parts of it out, but you do the relaxation parts of it, it can actually help you look younger in the long haul.
All right, well, let's take some phone calls and continue chatting with Dr. Tony Yoon next on Coast to Coast AM.